Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Best Interest of the Family Radio. I'm Dave Taylor, and I'm always proud to be accompanied by my good Larry Heron, the parent coach. Hey, Larry.
Dave, how are you?
Hey, I'm not too bad. How about yourself, buddy?
Doing good, doing good.
Well, you know what? We often start out by talking about what's going on with our kids, and I know there's an awful lot of stuff going on both at this moment. And I'm real pleased that Rebecca's been involved in this puppet at her church, and she's so into that, and it's so cool to watch what these kids come up with. In fact, they make their own puppets, Larry. You know,
that's
she's got
amazing.
One with like orange hair, and it's like a mohawk. I can't remember what she named it. It's so cute, man. And they go to nursing homes with this ministry, and they do a big deal up in Plymouth, I guess, where they're having this regional. And apparently this particular group that she's in with have won awards, and they're like the top in the country, I think.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, and it's such a cool ministry because they involve laser lights and fluorescent lighting and all these special effects and multimedia. It's amazing. It's just absolutely
learning
amazing.
Some good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but what are you and DJ up to these?
Well, you know, Dave, nothing quite as creative as that. Rebecca is going to do phenomenal at that too, because I know your daughter is very creative and teaching them, you know, how to use that ministry with nursing homes and elderly and trying to bring something good to others. I mean, what a cool thing to be able to be, you know, creative with the puppets and entertaining and giving to others. They're learning something very, very valuable at a very early age. That's cool stuff. Well, you know, Dave, my son, I got to tell you, you want to hear a cute little boy story?
What's that?
This weekend, you know, he had some allergies, and it's that time of year, you know, and so, Dave, we're all about education on this show, right?
Sure.
Well, I'm going to go ahead then and share with our listening audience what I've been educating my son in during allergy season. It's to, you know, that nagging little cough that comes up because, you know, the phlegm and everything. I'm teaching my 7-year-old, don't swallow that stuff, DJ. You need to spit. And so
I got to make sure we can say phlegm on the air first. Hang on a second. We can do that.
You know, it wasn't phlegm I was worried about. It was spit. So on Monday morning, I'm driving him to school, and I can hear that loose cough he's got going. And I said, Deech, don't swallow that. You need to spit it. And we're at a red light, so go ahead, spit. So he rolled down the window. He was all too eager to do that, you know, and he spit it out and pretty darn proud of himself, spitting like a good hillbilly child, you know. And I told him his Pappy Heron and lineage all the way back would be darn proud. But he said, you know, Dad, I hope I don't have to do that in class at school. And I said, buddy, I hope you do, because I don't want you to swallow that and get it in your lungs or anything. If in fact, you're coughing, you just raise your hand, tell Miss Phelps that you need to use the bathroom. She'll understand. She'll let you go. And so, you know, we thought we'd left it at that. But Monday night, my phone rang, Dave, and lo and behold, it was my son. And he was calling me from his mother's to let me know very proudly and surprisingly, but I guess he figured I'd want to know. He called to tell me, Dad, I just wanted to tell you I coughed like that in community meeting, but I spit it, Dad. I spit. I had
he had to memorialize that moment. He called his dad and tell him, you know.
He had to tell me, you know, that was something between us, Dad. That's a little moment in parenting that, you know, again, you think your kids don't care, they don't pay attention. Let me tell you something. That's the simple things. And he told me, but of course I got a little concerned. I was laughing and said, DJ, I'm very proud of you, but tell me, son, where did you spit? Oh, I went in the bathroom, Dad. I spit it in the bathroom. Good for you, son. Okay, that's good. So he had to call me to tell me that, and I couldn't be more proud of him.
Excellent. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, I got a girl and you got a boy, and you know, it's like sugar and spice and everything nice, you know, and then the cockle shells and puppy dog tails and the spitting, it's all good, you know.
Let me tell you something, Dave. I don't know if the listening audience knows, but your little everything nice can do her own share of spitting, I know. She's,
well, you know, certainly hold her own, that's for sure.
I wouldn't want to cross her.
Well, you know, I happen to know, though, Larry, that it doesn't stop with DJ. I know that you've got, you know, quite an affinity for kids, you know, and making sure that they get the right stuff. And, you know, a lot of people may not know that not only is Larry Heron the parent coach, but, you know, I happen to hear, Larry, that you've been doing some mentoring, or at the time you had mentored a very, at the time, a young man who's apparently now getting married, and you're going to be involved in his wedding in a big way.
Oh.
See, you well, can't get much by me. You know,
geez.
I'm the producer. I know this stuff.
Well, Dave, that's kind of you to bring up, I guess. You know, but I am. I'm very, very humbled by this. That goes way back. Mike Cooley is a young man down in Florida who is originally from right here in Michigan. I grew up with his dad, and when his dad was dating his mom, got to be very good friends with her too. In fact, young lady that I was dating at the time, the four of us were pretty much inseparable. We were very, very tight. And I stood up in his parents' wedding, and sadly, they had two kids. Their oldest, their daughter, is my godchild, and who's now 28 years old. And but sadly, they divorced when the kids were, I believe Missy was just starting high school, and Mikey was about 10 or 11, I believe. But I continued, of course, to stay very, very consistent in their lives. And when the divorce occurred, Mike actually got the kids and needed a lot of support. And I was, of course, just completely eager to help because, again, he was my friend, and I loved those kids. And they called me Uncle Blue. That was my nickname way back then. And I stayed consistent in their lives. But when their dad got remarried, you know, there was another fallout that occurred. And I continued to stay consistent and, of course, maintain friendship with their mom as well. And they moved. Mom remarried and moved her and the kids to Florida. And kind of lost touch a little bit. And saw them and talked to them a few times, but, you know, it was kind of, you know, lost touch. And Mike had graduated from high school. But even about 3 or 4 years later, I got a phone call. And he said, Uncle Blue, I wanted to let you know I'm getting married. Well, I was, of course, very, very happy for him and anticipated that the phone call was to invite me to the wedding, and I would have assumed that. But he said, I want you to think about this, and if you're okay with it, I'd be honored if you'd be my best man.
That's
terrific. I said, honored? My gosh. I let me pick myself up off the floor. But I quite honestly couldn't understand. I said, Mike, you know, of course, if that's what you want, buddy, you can rest assured I'll be there and I'll be your best man. But don't you have some friends or some running buddies you'd rather, you know, have as your best man? And he said, no, I want you. And so, you know, I talked to his mother later and asked the same question. I said, you know, Kathy, I don't understand. And she said, you know what, Larry, we don't either. Quite frankly, she said, the only thing I can think of is that when those children needed consistency, you were there, and you've always been there. And, you know, he's grown up. He's no longer Mikey. He's Mike, and he's just a fine, strapping young man. And he's getting married to Kara, who is just a beautiful and very stabilizing young lady. And the two of them together are just going to take the world by storm, and I couldn't be happier for my surrogate godchild, Mike, and to, you know, be his best man. But as she said, you know, when they needed a fallback, when they needed consistency, you were it. And my gosh, I never thought about it. But, you know, David, we've said it 1,000 times in this program. We'll say it 1,000 more because it's the truth. It's not your truth, my truth. It's just the God's truth that kids fare best when they have consistency in their life. Kids are very resourceful. And just like DJ in the spitting up phlegm, you know, I mean, it's the little moments in a car. And, you know, the front of the court will be quick to sometimes say, well, you know, driving back and forth between those two locations, you know, what kind of quality time is that for the kid? Let me tell you something. Some of the smallest, littlest moments of parenting and profound kinds of discussions go on in that car. And God knows, I'm sure he's going to tell me, Mike down there in Florida, wow, what in the world is it you remember in our dynamic that would ever cause you to want me to be your best man? And you know what? I guarantee you he'll remember. I don't, honestly. I just step up and do whatever's needed done. But you know what? It's consistency. It's those kinds of consistency, those kinds of moments, those kinds of go-tos that, hey, we have an exchange of love and nurturing and being there for children that help them to thrive. And so, yeah, I'm excited, I'm humbled, and I'm looking forward to a great time helping him and his new wife start a new chapter in their lives, you know, the most important chapter that they've ever started together in marriage. And God willing, it'll be a forever marriage. I'm sure going to pray for that.
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, Larry, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised you made such a big impression on Mike that you mentored, and you know, now he's you know, it's a great thing, because as we talk about on this show, you know, we've got to impress these kids. We've got to leave a legacy, whether they're our own or whether they're somebody else's, right? I mean, these are the future leaders of our country. They're the future leaders of our local areas. You know, whether they're leaders or whether they're folks that are just going to play and grow up and, you know, be balanced and reasonable and live their lives in a, you know, with honor and integrity. And these are things that we have to put as core values into kids, don't we, Larry?
That you know what, Dave? As always, you articulated it to the core. Absolutely. Absolutely. And whether it's airplane spins and piggyback rides, which, you know, I was doing 20 years ago with him and doing now 20 years later, my gosh, help me. You know, that's truly what it's all about. It's the airplane spins, the piggyback rides, the being there for the discipline, the being there for the mending of broken hearts, the being there for guidance and the examples and modeling and showing up when nobody else will. That's what kids need. That's what we all need. When, quite frankly, I mean, it's a platelet for what's needed as you go on in life and you grow into adult years. And the greatest legacy is when you watch those kids do the same for their kids, and they're able to look back and say, "Hey, I got it." And because, you know what, like the old country song is, you know, it says, you know, I've been watching you. And they do. They watch every move we make, believe me, and they experience it for what it is.
What do these kids do, though, that don't have an example set for them, Larry? I mean, you know, we've got this good fella on the night that's running for Senate. He's setting an example for the state. I mean, you know, he prevailed through his primary, and, you know, he went out as you know, growing up in this state. Graduated from school in this state with a mechanical engineering and computer science degree. You know, we got him on tonight to talk about how he's going to help create jobs for people, how we're, you know, going to continue to educate our kids in this state, and how he's going to sustain and balance the budget. I'm pretty excited about our guest tonight, Mike Peters. He's running for state senate, and we've got Mike on the line.
Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Mike. How you doing tonight?
Very good, thank you.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Larry. I heard your story about DJ and Rebecca, and if it's okay with you, I'd like to tell you one of my own stories, if I may.
Absolutely.
I have four boys, ages 12 and under, down to six, of my own, and we have a foreign exchange student who's 16 years old living with us right now. When he first got to our house in, I think it was early July, my children were very excited. He's from Germany, and they were looking very much forward to meeting him. He got here, and within the first couple weeks, he started playing with my kids, which was very nice. Now, you need to understand, my four boys, being as active as they are, one of their favorite things to do is to play with the Nerf guns and play pretend war. Now, this exchange student of ours is from Germany. As you know, the way that the U.S. portrays Germany in World War I and World War II isn't necessarily the most positive way. So
right.
When he showed up, the first thing my children did is say, "Oh, Philip, we want to play war. You can be the Germans and we'll be the Americans and we will shoot at you."
Oh, jeez.
Well, I can tell you, he only played for about 15 minutes and came in the house and he was a little bit upset. He's telling me, you know, it hurts my feelings. Back in the World War I and World War II in Germany, this is not a time that we celebrate. This is a time that we look upon as one of the worst parts of our history. And so, you know, it hurts my feelings that your children want me to be the German that they get to shoot at. And so I had to explain to him that growing up in America, their only knowledge of World War II is what happened in Germany as the bad guys, and they're not trying to hurt your feelings. They're trying to engage you in a way that they're familiar with. And he said, okay. And after that, he's been more than happy to jump up and volunteer. I will be the Germans, and you can shoot at me, and I will shoot back at you. So it's quite a funny thing there going on when he first joined our family.
Well, that shows an awful lot of character on the part of your exchange student, for sure.
Mm-hmm. He's a good kid.
And how old is he? You said 16?
He is 16. He'll be celebrating his 17th birthday just past Thanksgiving. He's very excited. One of the things that he's done since he's got here in the United States is join the marching band at the local high school. He was a little nervous about that and got into it. He's done quite well, and it's real fun reliving my childhood, my youth through him. He was able to attend his very first homecoming game and his very first homecoming dance, and it's just thrilling reliving your youth going back through someone else's eyes. This
sure.
was all brand new to him. He'd never experienced a homecoming football game, never experienced a homecoming marching band halftime show, never experienced a homecoming dance. He has a young lady friend that he's pretty excited to hang out with, and it was just so much fun, you know, reliving this through their eyes.
Well, you know, Dave, in fact, I've had opportunity, as you know, Mike and I know each other, and I've had opportunity to meet Philip. And I can assure you that between all that hair, German accent, and the strapping, good-looking kid he is, Mike, I bet he's got no problem attracting lady friends.
No, he has quite a few of them, actually. that's another funny story, but we'll save that for a different time.
That's funny. I'll tell you what, Mike, we'd like to know a little bit about what made you run for Senate. You know, what's that all about?
Well, that's another story. I don't know if you remember or not, but about 2 years or so ago, the big news story right around the Christmas, New Year's Eve time period was how the state government hadn't balanced the budget and that they were threatening a shutdown unless the governor signed an emergency bill to free up some funds. And that story was going on every night for a couple days. And then the news broke how the emergency funding wasn't signed. and they had to dismiss the state workers and park the bridges, the drawbridges in the up position, and let the folks go that take care of the rest areas along the way, and essentially shut the government down. You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Sure
very
do.
Vividly.
Yeah.
I remember it.
Well, that story went on for about 2 weeks, just about every single night. And after the first couple days, I was laying in bed next to my wife here watching 11 o'clock news, just grumbling about, you know, these guys, they got one job out there, balance the budget, take care of that. Lawmaking, yeah, we need some here and there, but that's not shouldn't be their primary focus. It should be getting the state running, making care, taking care that the money's there, and doing all that stuff. And come about the second week here, you know, it's 11:30. My wife's tired of hearing about it. She rolled over and she says to me, "You know what? I'm tired of hearing you talk to me about this." She says, "If you don't like it, do something about it." So I put my name on the primary ballot the next day, and now she's going, "Oh my goodness gracious! I can't believe you're trying to do something about it." So that's how it all started.
Well, Larry's got a saying, and I won't steal his thunder. How does that go, Larry, about writing checks?
Oh, well, you know, that was passed down from my dad, Mike. It's, you know, you never want to let your mouth write checks that your backside can't cash, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at here. So now she's shaking her head.
You rose to the occasion. Oh. You rose to the occasion, Mike. It's all good.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, when I have grandchildren, if I win, I can tell them I ran, I did something about it, and I tried my best to make things better for people. If I lose, I can still look at them and say, you know what, I tried. That's more than a lot of people can say they've done.
Absolutely. Well, as I've shared with you, you know, Larry and I have both run for office, so, you know, we're kindred spirits with you. We understand the work and the dedication and, you know, those sore feet that comes with going out there and trying to get that vote.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You meet a lot of people when you're out there knocking on the doors.
Yep, and you run into a lot of issues. And speaking of issues, Mike, what are some of the platform issues that you're bringing forth?
Well, there are basically five big things that are going to happen this year in the government. First of all, and everybody's familiar with this one, we got to get the people of the state working again. You know, we all know people that are having difficult times out there. We all have friends and neighbors that have lost their job over the last 18 months, you know, 22 months, 24 months. Times are difficult. So we've got to bring the jobs back. We've got to find ways of making small business more profitable, I guess, for lack of other terms, so that they can reinvest and start producing and creating new jobs. You know, the only job that the government's going to create is a government job. I'm in the auto industry, and when you say a government job, that isn't always taken in a very kind fashion here. So we got to work hard to get the people back together and create the jobs. The next thing that I want to work on is the education of our children, our kids. As I said before, I have four children going through the school systems. I have an exchange student going through the school systems. You know, you look across the globe here, and at one point in our life, the United States used to have the best education system in the world. That's no longer the case. Well, we need to take a step back, and we need to refocus on education, and we need to become that world-class leader again. It may be through increasing funding to schools. It may be through holding education systems accountable. You know, we would obviously need ways of measuring these things. We need to basically go back and take a look at what are the world-class school systems and what do we have to do here in Michigan to make those world-class school systems be the schools we have in our state. You know, we have some excellent universities here with University of Michigan, Michigan State, Lawrence Tech, you know, Michigan Tech, and all the other mid-level schools in between. Way too many to list, but these are fine schools. We just need to project that and make them better if we can. The third thing that I'm very interested in is like the story I led off with, my balanced and sustainable budget. Let's face it, you know, the state is just kind of falling apart there. We're spending money we don't have, and we need to get out there. We need to fix that. Like your households, there's only two ways I know of to get out of debt, and that's it. Either you bring in more money or you quit spending more than you have. The state's got to do that here. There's no way around it. We can't keep raising taxes on more and more, on less people when there are less and less people working. We've got to cut our spending. We've got to go out and benchmark different areas of state government and figure out what other states are doing and what can we do to improve that. So those are the three big things that are going on. Now, there's two minor issues, if you want to call it that. The first one is Proposal 1 on the ballot, the state constitution.
Right.
You're going to hear people tell you, oh, I'm all for a state constitution, and you're going to hear people tell you I'm all against the state constitution. That's an interesting question. Myself, I am personally against it, and the reason I'm against it is we have processes and procedures in place, gentlemen, to amend the Constitution already. We don't need to rewrite it every 16 years. We can tweak it as we go along if things pop up. I'm concerned that if we basically put our state government on hold for, you know, 18 months, 24 months while it gets rewritten, we spend all the money to do this, and the process works that we have to vote people in, we have to elect people who are going to rewrite this. They're going to be influenced by outside pressures. I mean, again, that's just part of politics here.
Sure.
And when they're done, it goes to a vote against the people. There's no guarantee that even after this 18 or 24 months, the people are going to vote for this new constitution to begin with. I'm not a big favor of basically delaying what's going on in our legislation right now to rewrite this constitution when we have processes that we can tweak along the way if necessary. Now, again, you're going to get other people who argue the other side saying we need it. It's been, you know, 40-some-odd years since it's been rewritten, and that's also true, but it's just not where I'm at with that issue. And then the last thing, this is one that's overlooked by a lot of people, is 2010 was the year of the United States Census. That data is fed back to the states, to the state governments, and it is the responsibility of the House of the state government to redistrict or propose redistricting boundaries. You haven't heard much about that, have you?
No.
It's usually the power or the party that's in power at that time that manipulate the boundaries and the borders to essentially set it up so that they remain in power.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that nobody's talking about at all. So we need to kind of keep that in mind, that will also happen this year with this particular group of legislators coming into the.
Sure, I knew that's coming up, but that's coming up this year, huh?
It'll start probably early January, I would guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a filibustering situation there.
You know, you take that and you mix that into the pot here with a potential new constitution, with a state that's struggling in the financial world, with the education system slipping a little bit, and bad jobs, and it's just a nasty mix that these new guys, hopefully myself, are going to have to deal with here this next 2 years.
Well, Mike, at least, you know, you're taking some practical approaches to it. And quite frankly, I wish there was more in government that new or old would do so. You know, I think the thinking things through and taking practical approaches is something that that government's been missing, quite frankly. I think that's how we've gotten into this this bucket that we're in nationally, and of course in our state even more so. Mike, one speaking of practical or specific approaches, somebody on the chat board is asking if you have any ideas about how to help families with tax relief. I know you'd mentioned that the tax burden has got to be revamped a little bit, that when the economy is such that the last thing people need are more taxes. Do you have any specifics that you would take a look at in terms of how, you know, that might help families more immediately?
Well, Larry, I can only tell you my gut feel. Since I'm not in office, I don't have access to the actual numbers.
Sure.
But I can tell you that as a father, as a family head of household, and as a participant in my community, I'm thinking I'm overtaxed and I'm overburdened. You know, if you look at essentially everything that we're taxed on. You've got income tax, you're taxed when you earn it, you're taxed when you save it, you're taxed when you spend it. You know, at some point you got to take a step back and say, hey, wait a minute, how much is too much?
Mm-hmm.
The general trend right now, I believe, is about 23-24%, maybe a little higher depending on your income, a little lower depending on your income. I think that's plenty. You know, the government who is supposed to balance the budgets and provide security for us and basically administer our laws, 23% ought to be plenty of the 23% of the money they bring in ought to be more than enough. Now, what specifically am I going to cut back? I can't lie to you. I don't know. Once I get in office and I have access to that information, I'll be able to formulate a little bit better plan. I'm sure you have other people on your show that can rattle right off the top of their heads what it is they want to look at and where they want to cut and stuff. But again, I could do that too. It's just I'd be lying to your public here, and I don't want to do that.
Well, and it sounds like you want to remain objective and open-minded, though, too, Mark. You know, you're being humble enough to say, well, you know what? Yeah, there's I know that there's some areas that need to be tweaked and some areas that need to be cut and some other areas that need to be, you know, looked at closely and others that probably need to be eliminated altogether. But you know, again, what you're saying is that you, you know, you want to take your time and you want to, but you're also going to, you know, I'm sure you sound like the type of guy that will take action at some point. You're not just going to sit on it.
Well, I want to do what's right. I mean, ultimately, the person or people that are elected and put into the office there are supposed to represent their constituents, the people back in their neighborhoods, their communities. And I don't see a lot of that happening. You know, if you think about the latest stories coming out of our government, the two big ones are the ban on texting and driving. Okay, that's a nice thing to take care of, right? We all agree
sure.
It's going to save lives and stuff.
Absolutely.
And the other thing that came out was liquor sales on Sunday morning. We want to change the law so that we can have liquor sales starting Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. All right, if you take a step back and you ask yourself, how does this help the people? How does this create jobs? How does this take care of education for our children? How does this help balance the budget? It does none of these things. Yet you talk to your neighbors, you talk to your friends, and that's what they want. They want jobs. They want money for schools. You know, they want a budget out there that the state can live with. And you don't see that happening with the folks that are up there right now.
You're absolutely right, Mike. And that's the disturbing part that, as you're saying, is liquor sales on Sunday helpful? Well, I guess the verdict's still out on that. Is outlawing texting while you're driving? Well, of course, that's common sense. It shouldn't have even taken this long. But if those are the only two issues that both sides of the aisle in Lansing can come to an agreement on and get passed, if that's the best they can do, I'm worried. Quite frankly, I'm scared.
Now you understand the frustration that I have. You know,
sure.
I'm just an average guy. I work as a supplier in the automobile industry, and I've had enough. And I'm pretty sure everybody that I talk to has had enough. And you know, this is where the citizens of the state have a chance to get their voices heard. After all, they're the ones who control the people that are in office. You know, it's not the people up there that control it. And this is your chance, right or wrong, to vote them in or vote them out.
Right. Absolutely.
That's kind of the gist of where I'm at with this thing. I've learned a lot going through this process. Some of the stuff is scary and some of the stuff is quite interesting. But ultimately, like I said before, 20 years from now, I can look back and I can say, you know what, win or lose, I tried. I tried to make a difference.
Sure.
I'm not sure some of the guys in Lansing can say that right now.
Absolutely. And you're setting that example for your children and you're answering the challenge that your wife has made to you. And Mike, I know you. You're a hometown guy. You've got hometown values. Tell our audience, what district is it exactly that you're representing and that you're running in, and what does that cover exactly?
I'm running for the 14th Senate District. That basically covers the cities of Farmington and Farmington Hills. It covers all of Southfield, Ferndale, Hazel Park, Pleasant Ridge, Huntington Woods, Lathrop Village, parts of Oak Park, parts of Royal Oak Township, and I think that's it. I think that's all it covers. Southfield Township.
I happen to know that it covers Beverly Hills, the village of Beverly Hills.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's part of Southfield Township. You know, it's often you know, overlooked just because they're, you know, a township, as you know, Mike, and listeners probably don't. Some probably don't know how some of these towns and villages come about, but you know, there's townships and there's cities, and and the talent, you can't have a village unless you have a, you know, you can't exist as a village unless there's a township, because you have to be attached to something. So,
yep.
That's the village of Beverly Hills is in with Franklin and Bingham, and that's made up of Southfield Township. So, in fact, you know, I filled out my absentee ballot today. So, call your name on there, and we don't talk about our politics here on Biff Radio, but well, let's just say that you are a familiar name on the ballot. So,
well, you know, thank you for thinking about me, and honestly, for your listeners, that's all I can ask. You know, give it some thought. Either you like what you're hearing, you don't like what you're hearing. If you think I can help you out, then please consider me when it comes November 2nd. If you don't think I'm the right person for you, hey, go ahead and mark down the other person on the ballot. Ultimately, you got to do what's right for you, and you got to vote for the person you think is going to represent you, not their own special interests.
Well, that's one of the great things about something I've learned about you, Mike, is that, you know what, you're just an everyday guy, everyday type of dad, and you understand the family dynamics, you live it, you're involved in the community, you decided to put your mouth is type of thing, the challenge was put out there by your wife, and she didn't realize you were going to take it.
No, and still to this day, she's not sure what to do with it. it's quite funny. Some days she's very excited, and other days she's going, oh, you're off to another event. Okay.
Yeah, well,
it's quite a dynamic thing in our house here.
Sure, and I'm sure she's your biggest supporter, because man, you know when you're in a family dynamic like that, you've got to have that support, and they've got to be behind you. And
there's another funny story with that, if I may. Yes, she's very excited that I'm running, but like most moms, you know, working a job, raising four kids, got a new kid in the family, and trying to take care of the school issues, and she's very active. She's a VP of communication in the local parent-teacher-student association. Well, back in August, when we had the primary, it was primary night, 8 o'clock, the polls had just shut down. I sat down in front of the TV to see the results. She came over, gave me a big kiss on the forehead, and said, "Let me know in the morning if you win." So I'm going, that's my family, you know. She loves me in her own way, but I know she does. And so the next morning when she got up, the first thing she said to me is, "Well, did you win?" And my reply was, "Not yet, because they don't have all the numbers finalized yet." It was about 10 o'clock in the morning before they finally published the final numbers.
Yeah, that's that agonizing part of the count, you know.
Yeah. But she was very excited when she found out I won. I just think that's pretty funny here. The biggest night here, all the election, and it's 8 o'clock, she's going to bed. It's just cracking me up.
Well, that's a trusting relationship there, Mike.
There you go.
And you know what?
Oh, absolutely.
She's a great lady. She's a great mom. I've seen that for myself. And you're a great dad.
Thank you.
You have a phenomenal family. You truly do. And I know DJ. The way we know each other, Dave, is our kids take karate together, and Mike and I have even done a little working out together.
Yeah,
and
I understand that you guys did a sparring event one time, and somebody walked away with a sore thumb.
Well, he hit me.
yeah, there's some truth to that. Larry and I were facing each other, doing some practice drills, and we had our pads and stuff on, and I threw a punch. Larry blocked it, and I didn't have my thumb in the right spot, and that son of a gun, Larry, broke my thumb. But to this day, he's going to tell you it never happened. He's going to say, nope, had nothing to do with it.
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, Larry, you can choose to remain silent rather than incriminate yourself. You know, the lawsuit may be pending. He may need some money to run this campaign. So.
I was going to say, you know, for raising further campaign funds or paying for him after it's all over, I can just see this coming. But Mike, what do you think? Should we put a plug in there for our doge?
Yeah, we could do that.
Well, you usually do.
this little incident took place at Farmington Martial Arts, which is at Orchard Lake and 10 Mile Road in Farmington, Michigan. The proprietor there, Jeff and Connie Duncan, they're some of the best local business people you'll ever meet. They take a lot of pride in their business, and because of them, my oldest, my 12-year-old, is a second-degree black belt. My 11-year-old is a first-degree black belt. My 9-year-old is a brown senior. His next test is for black belt in December. My youngest is about 25% of the way on his way to a black belt. And I, being the lucky dad that I am, hanging out with them at the Dojang, am about one-third of the way on my way to a black belt.
And Dave, as you can hear, I'm going to continue to spar with Mike. I don't want anything to do with them young kids. They'll kick my butt.
Yeah, no, I'm fortunate that they haven't figured that out yet. but sooner or later, that time's going to come.
So you got that German exchange student involved in your karate order?
No, he has no interest in martial arts there. He'd rather hang out with the marching band and, talk to his lady friends in the flag
and
corps.
And the girls, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, it's been an absolute delight having you on the show tonight. You know, we're going to offer you an opportunity to talk directly to our listeners, just give some closing comments about why they should pull the lever for Mike Peters.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave. Basically, it boils down to this. I'm a no-nonsense guy trying to do the best I can for my family, my community, my church, my kids. I'm an active leader in the Boy Scouts of America. I am I have very strong feelings and opinions on honesty, truth, doing the right thing for the people, doing the right thing for yourself, doing the right thing for your family. If these are the qualities that you're looking for, then please consider me. If I don't seem to fit the need of the people that are out there, there's two things I want to say. The first one is I am honest and I do have integrity, and if elected, I'm there to do a job for the people of the region. My personal opinions may not agree with yours, but if it's what the people of the region want, then it's my duty, my honor, and my responsibility to vote that way, even if it does go against what I want or what I think is right. The second thing is, even if you don't want to vote for me, I'm okay with that. The important thing is get out there and let your voice be heard. We've got a number of people throughout the history of this country who have given their life that we can have this right. We owe it to them. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our future to get out there and vote. Thanks for your time, guys.
Oh, anytime, Mike. We very much appreciate you coming on tonight. You've added an immense amount of value to our broadcast, and we've gotten to know you a little bit and gotten to find out about what makes you tick, and God bless you and your family. We wish you the absolute best coming out of that general election.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a little nervous. If I win, I got a big life-changing event in front of me.
Sure.
And you get that nervous anxiety that goes along with it, with that excitement at the same time. And I'm feeling all those emotions right now. November 2nd, hopefully we'll know that answer. Definitely by November 3rd, we'll know what's going on.
Well, as one of our other guest that's running for elected office, she likes to say that she's cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, that's an excellent way of putting it.
Well, you may want to adopt that between now and next Tuesday. So, again, thanks very much, Mike, and blessings to you, and we will both see you on the other side of Tuesday.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your listeners.
You bet, Mike. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Good night, Mike.
Good night.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was a delight having my show, getting to know him a little bit more, after
he's,
seeing him over there at Farmington Martial Arts.
He's a great guy. He's a lot of fun. Very humorous guy. And the family is truly just entertaining to no end, to watch all those dynamics with four kids and a wife and a foreign exchange student. I'll tell you, I can't think of any foreign exchange student that wouldn't just have a great time in the Peterson household, because you can't go to a room and hide in a corner in that house. Believe me, those boys will find you.
Well, I'll tell you
what.
They're
definitely a reflection of their parents. They
sure.
They're very, very social, and I don't know, Dave. I know we don't endorse, but Mike Peterson is a great guy who absolutely says what he means and means what he says. He walks the talk, and he's serious about what he's doing.
Well, and he's a very confident guy. You know,
you can hear
that in his voice. And I know we didn't get into any of his, you know, former family dynamics, how he grew up and stuff to a greater degree. But if I had to guess, I'd say that he had a great deal of influence from his mom and his dad.
Yep.
You know,
no question.
And it makes all the difference. And as you know, Larry, and our listeners, that's why Biff Radio exists, because we're all about relationship. We're all about furthering, a continued loving, encouraging relationship with our children and vice versa, and being able to raise people of integrity like Mike, you know, people of integrity like Larry the parrot coach, who's going down to Florida to be best man in a little guy's wedding. Well, he's not a little guy anymore, but one time he was over there in Farmington neighborhood, and you know, golly, Larry, I'm real proud of you, and I'm proud of the way that you were able to hand your personal legacy down to Mike down in Florida. And, that came back to you in a real positive way. And I know that humbled you and, in a big way to get that phone call and be invited down. And I can't wait to see the pictures from that.
Oh, you betcha. I can't wait to take them. And you're right, Dave. Honored and humbled is a couple of words that kind of began to describe it, and just hopefully too, and nervous too, because you know, my greatest fear is he's going to remember them airplane spins, and you know, he's big enough now to give them to me, and I just don't want to break a hip.
He might give you one.
I don't want to break a hip.
Just watch. I was going to say, just watch your thumbs.
That's right. I didn't do it, Dave.
Tucked in.
I didn't do it.
I'll tell you what. You know, it's always a pleasure to come on here and talk with fellows like Mike. You know, he's Mike Peters is for Senate in the state of Michigan, and hearing what kind of energy he still has coming into the, you know, a week left in a campaign. You know how draining those things can be, Larry.
Oh man, I'm telling you. But you know, I think he draws a lot of energy from his family and a lot of energy from his from the job that he is so willing and so motivated to do. And it takes passion. And as you know, Dave, I mean, you've held office, you've run for office. It's not something you can just kind of walk through the motions on and survive very long. The one thing I'll say about these guys that are truly in it, they do have a lot of compassion, and you have to be successful at this and to survive it, quite frankly. Because campaigning is just absolutely grinding. There's no question that's the hardest part of the job.
It really is.
To get out there and shake hands and really care and want to know the people's issues, want to know what the people, as Mike pointed out, that he's serving. He's in it to serve and to understand what their issues are that they are saying, look, I don't care what Washington or Lansing thinks. This is what I'm telling you. Flat out, we got to deal with it on a daily basis. And he's a neighborhood guy. He understands, and he wants to make a difference. And I respect a great deal all of their passions, all these guys that are out here, and women too, that are out here trying to make that difference, trying to get elected to then go and do the job.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to wind things down for tonight, and Larry, always a pleasure to come on and talk about family issues and certainly a pleasure having you as an associate and a co-host, but as a personal friend. And I know Rebecca and I always look forward to the times that we get to hang out with you and DJ, no matter what it is, whether it's camping or karate or walking the dogs or whatever we're doing. We always
or even just watching cartoons.
Or just watching cartoons on the couch. We do that too.
We've had our moments, absolutely.
It's all good.
The pleasure is ours, Dave, absolutely.
Well, my friend sends another program of Biff Radio, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we have a Dads and Moms of Michigan monthly meeting on November the 6th. Isn't that the 6th that would be?
That is the 6th in Waterford at the Waterford Eagles.
At from 10 o'clock until noon, and people can go to dadsandmomsofmichigan.org and get information about that meeting upcoming, not terribly long from now, about a week and a half. And, certainly if you've got issues with anything from, issues of the friend of the court or legal issues or some parenting issues of some type or some questions or need some type of family therapy, what have you, I happen to know that Dads and Moms of Michigan is actually providing some services. So be sure to contact them via the website, and I'm sure that they'd be willing to help you out with your situation.
Absolutely, and you never know who might stop into those meetings either. So a lot of surprise guests. We've had a lot of people running for office stop in, and I got a feeling that we just may have a few winners there that day to come in, and we'll congratulate.
Yeah, it'll be just a few days after that general election.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, very good.
And there will be a presentation that day too,
yep.
Something on parenting. And my colleague, Pam Lyle at Farmington Youth Assistance, very capable speaker and physician. Yeah, she'll be part of it at least. And so all the way around. And we'll have a legal roundtable, of course, as always. So, it'll be a good day, and you'll get just a wealth of knowledge for whatever your situation is calling for. So well worthwhile to attend on November 6th.
That's right. And we're always big supporters of Dads and Moms of Michigan and all the other advocacy groups out there, working on behalf of families and, trying to do the right thing and trying to educate the folks in elected office as well as those in, the court system. Bottom line is we need some reform. We need to help those understand that are in these positions of influence that children need both parents, right, Larry?
Absolutely. They absolutely do, a whole and complete relationship with both parents.
Well, I don't think we could say it any better than that. From Biff Radio, good night, folks.
Good night.